Thank you very much. I'm grateful that we are in the house of the Lord. I'm humbled by the grace of God that I may be worthy enough even this morning to open the Word of God with you. Such a great responsibility to handle the Word of God with fear and trembling. And I acknowledge Mganwami to be here. Actually, according to the human protocol, you know, there's these human protocols. According to that, I was supposed to be sitting. He's supposed to be preaching because he's the man who's higher than me ranking in this world. He's my friend, Bishop Constant Masam from a place called far, far away. So he came to see me. I known him for very, very long time, many years. He's been a good friend. We've been together, Assemblies of God and Faith and all that. And I thank the Lord. And sister, we acknowledge the fact that you are here. Sisters, Mama, thank you very much. We come to yet another profound statement that is written in the Bible. We come to the most discriminating statements again. It's one of the two most arrogant statements that is written in the Word of God. Some people, they call it the most arrogant statement because it says Jesus alone saves. Last week we have seen from John chapter 14 verse 6 that there is one way. The Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the truth and the life. That is so discriminating. It's telling us that there is no other way. If there's anyone who comes and say he's the way, he's a liar, because Christ alone is a way. And this morning, if you may please then open your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, and you're going to concentrate all in verse 12, but I'll read from 10 to 12. Acts chapter 4. And the title of this message, there is salvation in Jesus. There is salvation in Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, but I'll read from 10. Here is Peter, and he's speaking, called to stand before this court of learned men of the time. Says verse 10 using the ESV, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you. Well, this Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Peter and John, they are now brought here before these leaders of the people. They are brought here before this court, before these people, to be questioned about the gospel that they have been preaching, to be questioned about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they were teaching and proclaiming the resurrection to life in the name of Jesus. They were preaching that if you are in Christ, when you die, your story does not end there. If you in Christ, when you die, you rise from the dead and you enter into eternal life. And then they caught him and then persecuted them for this truth. So Peter is brought before this man, and we know who Peter is. Peter is that man who has been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He has seen all the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has seen all that Christ has done. He has heard all. He had all the words, each and every word that Jesus Christ have said before. Peter has heard these words. They are still ringing in his head. He knows exactly what Christ says. This is a man who has been so close to Christ. Now he stands before these people, and he's charged just for knowing the King of glory. This Peter has seen the risen Savior. What a great impact in a person's life to know Jesus Christ. As Peter stand here with boldness, I'm talking about the same Peter we have said before, he was so fearful that even a young girl scared him, said, you were with Jesus Christ. And Peter says, no, I was not with him. I don't know Christ. But this Peter stands today bold, we see what a great influence to be with Jesus Christ and to be filled with the Spirit of God. So we see that the experience of being with Jesus Christ had tremendous effects in the life of Peter, and moreover, now that he stands before these people, he is filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit of God. And we know that the message that Peter preached here is the greatest, one of the greatest and one of the most powerful messages that any person can preach. One of the most life-changing messages that Christ Jesus says. But we know that the message that he proclaimed to these people, this message can do nothing, Bazalwane. This message can change nothing. This message can have no effect, can have no influence in the life of anybody, unless this message comes from Christ himself, unless this message is given by the Holy Spirit. And we are so privileged this morning. We are so privileged this morning that we can hear this message direct from God, that we can hear this message given to us by the mouth of the Apostle Peter, and then by the inspiration that is given to Dr. Luke as he writes these things for us. A life-changing message. A message that says Jesus Christ saved, that there is no salvation in anyone else but in Christ Jesus. And he realized, Bazana, that a life-changing message is not a message that has to do with your wealth and your health. A life-changing message is not a message that deals with your poverty, that deals with the lack that you have. But the life-changing message is a message that has to do with the risen Savior. It is a message that has to do with a man who was crucified and got raised from the dead. A life-changing message has to do with that man who gave himself. He gave himself for our sins, that we may be justified, that we may be found right before God, that we may now be able to enter into the holy place of God, that we may be able to be invited to God and be called his children, be adopted as sons and daughters because of Christ. So a life-changing message had to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want your life to be changed, all that you need is a message about Christ, that Christ Jesus saves. So Peter this morning has a focus, and Peter's focus as he stands before this crowd is exactly my focus that I have with you this morning. My focus this morning is to preach to you a message of salvation. My focus this morning is to bring to you a solution to a problem, because we have a problem. Oliven has got a problem. Centurion has got a problem. Gauteng has got a problem. South Africa and the world, we've got one problem, and the problem is sin. The problem is our enmity with God. So if there's something that must be solved, if there is something that must be taken care of, if there's something that must be changed, if there's something that must be dealt with immediate effect, that is sin. We reject God. Not because we were born in bad environments. We reject God not because we are poor and we don't have food to eat. We reject God because of sin. We hate one another because of sin. We hate one another because of sin. The prophet Isaiah, he prophesies, and it is recorded in Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 2. He says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquity, it was your iniquity that have made a separation between you and your God, and your sin have hidden his face from you, so he does not hear." The very same sin is the very same sin that caused people to hate the truth of God. It's the very same sin that caused people to hate the very same God they claim to be loving. And that is the problem that we face and we see in this chapter as Peter stands to preach before these people. But because of sin, they reject the message of God. Because of sin, they persecute the church. And I pray that this morning the Lord may help us to understand his truth. I pray that the Lord may help us to come to an understanding of this grace that is given to us, that he may give us the desire to hear his word, and that he may give us the power and the boldness to those that proclaim, that we may proclaim the word of God. But above all, that he may grant us the gift of repentance, that we may be filled with his Spirit. So in discussing this verse, I'm just going to run through these 2 points at once. So you'll need to listen very carefully. There are 2 points I want to run. they are so similar that I can just run as if it's a one point. But I divided them into two so that you may have some kind of a clarity what I'm talking about. First is that there is salvation. Secondly, that this salvation is in the name of Jesus. The reason why I divide them into two is that some people, they preach that there is no salvation. So I want to declare this morning that there is salvation. And the reason why I have the second point, that the salvation is in the name of Jesus, that some people, they preach that there is salvation, but the salvation is not only in the name of Jesus. You can find salvation, you can have salvation from any different kind, but the Bible this morning is clear with us. There is salvation, but the salvation is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Peter speaks of this as a gift. He says it is given. It is a name that is given. If you read chapter 4 verse 12, it is a name that is given. It speaks of a gift that comes from God. And remember the text that for God so loved the world that he gave with his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him, he may not perish but have eternal life. So there is salvation. This salvation is already here. This salvation must be enjoyed here. This salvation is by the grace of God. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it in some kind, in some way. You must just receive it. It's a gift from God. What an amazing thing for Peter to stand after these people have done so much against the gospel. Regardless of the hostility of their heart, regardless of the fact that they were persecuting the church of God, regardless of the fact that they ill-treated the gospel preachers of God, but Peter still stands regardless of all those facts. He stands regardless of the fact that the people were carried up by sin. The people actually were so puffed up by pride. These people were on their way to hell, on their way to destruction because of ignorance. That's what takes you to hell. Your own ignorance, your own sinfulness, because you don't want to listen. Peter, he stands and he proclaims these words, that there is a Christ Jesus who saves. And if you want to be saved, you need to be in Christ Jesus, who is our Lord. So, brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what negativity or sinful opposition that you have in your heart against the truth. It doesn't matter. If you come to Christ, you can see these people were so opposing to the truth of God. But Peter still says, that's not the end. It is not over. You can still come and be in Christ. If you can only consider the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can only see your own barrenness, if you can only see your own emptiness in your own soul without the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think this is one of the most positive messages I've ever preached in this church. This is one of the most positive. It's positive that you can be so messed up. We can be so messed up in a way. But if you come to Christ, he saves and he cleans you. Not that I've never preached it like that, but I never used these words before. That it doesn't matter how messed up you are. We can be so messed up. I was so messed up. He was so messed up. You were so messed up. But Christ, if you come to him in faith and repentance, Peter says there is salvation. But the problem that we're facing in this world, the problem that we have, Oliver, the problem that we have each and everywhere you go, is that people, they don't think. The people, they don't think that they need salvation. People, they think that they need some kind of a change of attitude, some kind of a change of environment. You walk around, people, they tell you, if I can just quit smoking, if I can just quit in your whoop and all that. That is great. You need to quit that. But that doesn't solve any problem. What you need is the salvation that comes from Christ. What you need is the Spirit of God coming into your heart, coming into your life, and cleanse you from within. That's what we need. Then you can be prosperous in this world. Then you can have a life, and a life that is of Christ in this world. So Peter stands and addresses these people in this place, saying, just like everyone else, just like us, even if you are standing here, I was going to say the same thing. I can see that you've got some information, you've got some kind of a knowledge about Jesus. I can see that you have heard some stories, you have seen some miracles, and you have heard all the claims that Jesus Christ has said. But there's one thing that you are missing. There is one thing that you didn't get right. You can hear of all these things. You can be healed. You can have money, but there's one thing that you are missing. He's telling these people, you are missing the fact that the same Jesus Christ I'm preaching to you now, he did say, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me, to him, and then drink. And whosoever believes in me, as the scripture have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So you are missing the greatest news. You can have everything that you need, but if you miss this good news of great joy that there is salvation in Jesus, you have missed it all. That is the challenge. That is what Peter is calling us to listen to. That is our message this morning. That there is a cleansing from all sins that is found in Jesus Christ. And this cleansing of all sins is cleansing of sins of the past, sins of the present, sins of the future. Jesus Christ's cleansing power is so great that it cleanses all sins, not some of the sins, all sins. So you don't have to come and name your sin that I was this and I was that. It doesn't matter. Christ cleanses from sin. The message that there is that deliverance of the soul from the bondage and the captivity and the chains of Satan. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, salvation is the total restoration of man from his fallen estate. And Mr. Spurgeon continues to say, it is the undoing of all that Adam did. And he continues to say, and moreover that God's salvation fixes our standing more and secure than it was before we fell. So now, as these people are gathering here, in this text, listening to Peter, Peter says, the salvation is in Jesus. There is salvation and is in Jesus. We see some kind of a testimony that gives us great joy this morning. We see 5,000 people, 5,000 actually men, not counting women and children, 5,000 men being saved. What a great testimony. What a great proof that the message that Peter is preaching is actually true. Jesus saves. 5,000 men were saved that day. There is salvation in Jesus Christ our Lord. So the fact that the people's heart were so hostile towards the gospel, it didn't compel Peter. It didn't push Peter to change the message. The message remained the same. If you read the book of Acts, the message is just the same. It, regardless of who Peter is preaching to at the moment, at any particular time, the message doesn't change. You might be preaching to poor people, the message doesn't change. One message, Jesus, Jesus saves and Jesus alone. It goes to people who are rich, Jesus saves and Jesus alone. It goes to people in the palace who think they are kings and they rule this world, Jesus saves and Jesus alone. So regardless of where we are, that's the message. And regardless of who you are, how low, how high, and how light you might be, one message, Jesus Christ saves. And for us to be in the courts of heaven, for us to enjoy eternal life, that is the message that we must absorb into our own hearts. So the message comes even stronger as Peter stands in this court. It comes even stronger and more challenging and more provoking to a sinful heart, more provoking to a proud heart. So friends, we find exactly what the church is called to preach. Those who are preachers, Mr. Russ, my bishop, Masang, Baba, we find a message. Listen, we find a message, the church that must preach. We find that the church must preach Christ. Christ! That's all we must preach. Woe unto you if there's something else that you preach. And we find a message, church, that you must be so joyful and say, I was in church. You are so joyful because we have heard a message about Christ, not because we have danced and jumped around and have a good time. It is nice sometimes to have exercises, but Sunday is a time for worship. It's time to preach Christ. It's a time to glorify Christ. Paul, Peter preaches such a message. So this is the grace of God, brethren. The grace of God that we need to stretch our hands of faith and grab and wrap around Jesus Christ and call him to save us and call him into our own hearts. So if he says there is salvation, it means that we don't need to continue in rebellion towards God. We don't need to continue in rejection of the truth. We don't need to continue dying and be lost in our lostlessness. we need to call to this God who's gracious. This gracious Father, we must come to Him. This is a compassionate Father, a God who accepts sinners in His palace, a God so holy but still calls sins that come to me, you who are heavy laden, who everyone who stays, let him come to me. He is a gracious God. He opened His arms to His people, the same people that reject Him each and every day, the same people that welcomes Him and still sin. But God says, come to me. So you need to call or to come to this God who welcomes the outcast of this world, who does not choose people. He welcomes the scums of this world, the sinners of this world, the prostitutes of this world, the thieves of this world, the gays and the lesbians of this world. He brings all to Himself and He washes our sins, washes them whiter than a snow. He welcomes us, regardless of who you are. If you will believe in the Son, if you will turn from your sins, was it not Jesus Christ who says, all that the Father gives to me, they will come to me, and those that come to me, I will cast none away. So come. That is Peter says, come. This is the Christ who comes from heaven. He's sent by God that He may die on the cross, and He already did die. Now all that is needed and is asked from you is that you open your heart and you see your own lostness, your own sinfulness, your own wickedness. Then you can call unto Christ and be saved. So Peter is so bold to stand there and say, this salvation is in Christ Jesus and in Jesus alone. So if you go to Peter and ask, and say, Peter, why would you say the salvation is in Christ alone? Why would you only say the salvation is in the name of Jesus? There are so many answers that Peter can give you. He can say it is maybe because God only said to this man, only this man, God said, this is my Son in whom I am pleased. He can give you that answer. There are many, so many answers that Peter can give. Unlike when you go around and you ask each and everybody, Bazalwane, let us teach each other how to confess our salvation. You go around and you ask, are you saved? We were doing yesterday. Are you being saved? Are you sure when you die you'll go to God? Are you sure there's a place for you in heaven? Yes. What happened to you? I was sick. I had sores around my neck. I couldn't move my neck up, down, forward, back, and up. So I was so stiff necked. I was dying in my bed. But the one pastor came and he prayed for me. I was healed. Now I joined his church. Now I worship in his church. That's great, but that's not salvation. We must know our testimony. I was a sinner. I was lost. Christ found me in my lostness. He saved me and He put me in the right place that I may worship God. And He cleansed me from sin. That is so better, because if then you fall again into sickness, then you're not going to blame anybody and say, maybe I just fallen from sin. No, you will understand that you're still saved. But Christ doesn't save you by healing you. So we need to know. So we are called to come. So if you ask Peter, why this name? Peter will not give us all these answers. Peter gives us an answer here. He says, it is because there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That is why. There is no other name. Anyone, anything else we can try. Anybody else can be healed by anything else. You can go to Limpopo, you can go to Ekpagamen, you can still maybe be healed. But the name of salvation is in one person. And all that is needed from us to seek God is only salvation. So if you want life, all you need is the name of Jesus. So now, if the name is given, it's in Jesus Christ. So I need to be saved. So the question is, how can I be saved? I am glad that is the question that you have in your heart, because then you turn to chapter number 3. Chapter number 3 of Acts, where we just read this morning, and you read verse number 19. You ask yourself, how can I be saved? How can I be part of this? Peter is giving us an answer. Repent therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out. Return to God. Turn towards the Savior. That is the only answer. If you may repent, that involves believing in Christ. Because then, if you can only turn, and the turning, Bazalwane, is only possible by turning to God. Turning from sin is only possible by turning to God. And turning to God is only possible by turning to Christ and believe Him and Him alone. Trust in Him. Depend on Him. So Peter's answer is that we must turn. The question is, have we listened to Peter yet? Is that what we have done?
Have we turned to God?
Because Peter says in the same verse, chapter number 3, he says, there is actually a reward that comes when you turn from your sin. He says, your sins will be blotted out. If you turn to God, your sins are blotted out. So you'll be cleansed. There will be no stain in you. The stain of guilt and the stain of sin, the pollution of sin will be taken from you. Only by turning to God. Only by turning in the name of Jesus. Only by coming and believing in Him and Him and Him alone. Your sins will be blotted out. There will be cleansing of your sin. In chapter number 2 also, as he stand there in that day of Pentecost, and many people, they hear his message and he preached to them. They come, they say, brothers, what shall we do? Peter says the very same words. Repent, therefore. Repent, each and every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus. And we have read a couple of months ago, when John the Baptist came from the wilderness preaching the message, and he comes and he preached the first words. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus Christ, again, the Bible tells us that as he started to do his ministry, as he started to preach the word, he started by preaching in verse 17 of chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, saying, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So if I want to spend my whole life in the presence of the Savior and in heaven, that I may have a room prepared for me, I must turn from my sins. The Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 17 also, verse 8, he says the very same words. He says, the time of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people. He commands all people everywhere to repent. Brothers and sisters, repent. But also Peter says, this salvation is present. This salvation is now. He says that, we can see that by saying in this verse, that this salvation is given under heaven. Is given unto men under heaven. Not before, not for this, for the world to come, but for this world. Under heaven, unto men. So the salvation is given now. So the salvation is present right now. If I need to be saved, I must be saved when? Right now. You don't die and get saved. You don't die and go to some state where you wait and some people, they pray for you, then you get saved. You get saved now. You come to Jesus when? Now. You repent when? Now. Your sins get blotted out when? Today, when you come to Jesus. So the salvation is today. But then by saying so, he also draws our attention. If he says it is given under heaven and unto men now, he draws our attention to the cross. He draws our attention to what happened to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Christ came to die for our sins at the cross. He pushes now their focus to see, why is it now? It is now because the Christ died in this world now, that we may be saved now. So our attention is drawn unto Christ. The question then that remains is, why do I need to be saved? Or did I need to be saved? The Bible makes it clear that we were sinners. Not that we were bad. Bad is better. Not that we were drunkards. That is also terrible, but that's not the reason that we needed to be saved. That we need to be saved. We need to be saved because we were sinners. That's great. We were enemies of God, fallen from grace, polluted by sin, corrupt completely, depraved, unwilling to come to God, unable to come to God. We need to be saved because we were standing far from God, opposite direction with God. And this happens, brothers and sisters, in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, what happened is that Adam sinned, and the whole humanity within him was corrupted. And it was cursed. Complete. So, whatever was born from Adam, born dead. Spiritually dead. Unable to raise its head. Dead. Dwarf. Kaput. You can see that Genesis chapter 4, the first children of Adam, Cain and Abel, Cain just killed Abel because of jealousy, because of maybe pride, but above all because of sin. Killed his brother with no reason. Just because they were offering to God, fighting to offer to God. He killed him. Sin has effects. You run down the book, you read. It gives you the generations in chapter number 5. Then you jump to chapter number 6. It points to us in Genesis that sin is so terrible. Even those who began to call upon the name of the Lord, they left all that. They didn't focus anymore to God. They started to mingle with the world, the sinners of the time, the wicked people of the time, and they rejected God. Then they were one with the world, and God was furious. And this is what God says in Genesis 6, verse 5 to 7, before the judgment of the world, before the world was judged by a flood. God says, the Bible actually says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the world, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. And the Lord was sorry that he has made man on this earth. So the Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of this land. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, one of the verses that we all know. He says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we see in Genesis chapter 6 and Genesis chapter 7, as Noah entered into the ark in which God commanded him to build, we see a picture of our own salvation. We see a picture of our own rescuing. We need somebody to rescue us like that ark which rescued the people at the time. We see the beauty of Christ coming into the world. We see why Peter then stands and preaches. You see why I stand here today and say, come to Jesus. We need a rescue. They did not enter the ark. And all who did not enter the ark did actually perish by the flood. But Noah found favor. Noah found grace. Noah was not better. He was also sinful. But God chose to save him, as God calls to you today. We see Noah calling to the people of the time. The Bible tells us that he preached for 120 years, preaching righteousness, but nobody came. But he still preached, come to Jesus, come to God, come into the ark, come to this ark that is a forever living ark. You remember in the ark, all the animals, we are told, they entered. Snails entered. You know how slow is a snail? You know how long it should have taken a snail to walk into the ark? But he still entered. A big elephant. An elephant entered. Any small, short monkey entered. A giraffe, like me, entered. A big King Kong entered. But I'm going to repeat, even the snake entered. You know how slow is a snake? They entered. What does it tell us, Father? All kinds of people. It doesn't matter who you are, how big, how small you are. You can just come to Christ. We see a picture of salvation when we look in the story of the ark. But as Noah called to the people, you remember that the people, they rejected the calling of the gospel. They continued in their sin. The Bible says they continued to get married. Not that marriage is bad, but they didn't consider God. They thought what they were doing was fine. Even so, today, brothers and sisters, as we continue in our sins, immediately, without seeing it, destruction will fall. And all those who are outside the ark called Jesus Christ will perish. And all those that are in Christ, they will be saved. And the Bible says, if you will hear his word today, if you will hear his word now, do not harden your heart. The question was, why did I need to be saved? It is because you were enemy of God. That's why you needed to be saved. Not because you were bad. Not because your mother brought you out of a family in poverty, or you were in a bad place. That is not the issue. All those things are bad. We cry, we pray the Lord that the suffering may go, but that's not why you are saved. You are saved because we are standing in enmity with God. You must be saved today because you are an enemy of God, and all the enemies of God will perish. That's why he says come. That's why I'm working with Peter today. I'm saying coming. I say come because I'm convinced that this message this morning is here to challenge our response to this gospel. How to respond to this gospel? As we hear this message, it's challenging our response to the gospel. It's challenging our attitude. It's challenging our attitude towards God and our behavior towards God. And if you will receive then this gift of life, You can only receive it on basis of what is revealed about Jesus Christ. And the question is, what is it that is revealed about Jesus Christ? Thank you for asking, because now you open Matthew chapter 1 verse 21. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21, it gives us the answer. Why? What is this name? What is in this name? And the angel, he tells Joseph, he says, your wife Mary will give birth to a child. Name that child, his name should be called Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sin. That is why his name is so special, because he's the only one that saves his people from their sins. So you can be saved by only what is revealed in the name of Jesus. It is revealed in the name of Jesus that Jesus is the eternal Son of the eternal God. It is revealed that it is Christ who came into the world to absorb the wrath of God, that we may be saved, that we may be set free, that our chains may be loosed. It is revealed to us that Christ paid that ultimate price, the price that no one could pay. And he died on the cross and he cried, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? As the whole world went into darkness, Christ was releasing us from captivity of sin and the bondage from Satan. So the solution is that we may lift our eyes unto the Lord, that you may look up to the cross, that you may cry with the multitude and say, oh, to see my sins written on his wounds, to see that dawn of darkest day, Christ on the road to Calvary, tried by evil men, torn and beaten, nailed onto the cross. Oh, the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us. He took that blame and he bore the wrath. And today, if we believe in him, today, if we come to him, we stand forgiven at the cross. That is the message that we have this morning. So friends, you can try to fulfill all the needs that is there in this world. We can try to do anything to fulfill our needs. And maybe we might find favor to fulfill those needs of this world. But unless you fulfill this one need, you are lost. You need to fulfill a need. The need that you have in your life is Christ. You can have everything, but if you don't have Christ, you've got nothing. You can have the whole world as they're sitting here, the Sanhedrin, people who were ruling the world at the time, the priests, a group of men that were doing sacrifices in the Lord, calling themselves children of God, the high priest who enters into the temple of God, trying to represent people before God. Peter is calling those people and say, repent. You need Christ, you don't need religion. Repent from your sin. Cry out to God, Lord, save me. If you can just count me with the multitudes. So, brothers and sisters, it is very important that you see that Peter is preaching a message of reconciliation, that we may be reconciled to God. As the scripture says, we were enemies, and while we were yet enemies, God reconciled us to his Son. He reconciled us to himself through the blood of his Son. Romans chapter 5, 10 and 11. Chapter 5, verse 5 says, while we were still weak, while we were still in our sin, Christ died for us. So it is very important. So now you're asking yourself a question. So what must I do? What I'm trying to say you must do, you need to respond to this message very carefully, because one day you will stand before the judgment of God. You will stand before the holy judge who is God and Christ. You need to respond to this message very carefully, because it is the only way that we may be reconciled and be adopted as sons and daughters of God. As we live in this world of false religion and false prophets and false teachers and false church, people are teaching, you don't need Christ to be saved. Actually, you don't need to be saved. You are fine. But the Bible says this morning, we are not fine. We were never fine. We need Christ. We need Christ to be saved. Peter says, come to him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But people love all these messages because they love their sin. They love their evil deeds. As John chapter 3 will say to you from verse 17 down. The reason why we receive all these wrong things in our lives is because we love sin. It's by nature that we love sin. That is why we cannot fight sin ourselves. You cannot combat sin. It's impossible. Christ fights sin in you. Christ fights sin in you and removes it. That's what we need. If we can if we need to be where God is. We need Jesus Christ. We need to be saved. The Bible says we're enemies of God. So two things as I close that I need you to keep in your mind. What is it that I'm trying to say this morning? Two things. I'll summarize. This is what I'm saying. I'm saying there is salvation in Jesus Christ. And this salvation is now. The salvation is a gift. The salvation doesn't want you to pop out anything. The salvation wants you to call unto Jesus. Seek him while he's still found. Call upon his name and be saved. So this is the message that you need to be saved. This is the message that you need in order that you may come to God. The very message that you need that you may be drawn to Jesus Christ. That you may be drawn to the love of God. That you may be drawn to total surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. To total commitment and total obedience and a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a message that you need. That you may be counted worthy. That you may be the sanctuary, the whole sanctuary of God. That God may dwell in you. That your life will be fine. That is the message that we need. It's a message which will bring a life unto you. A new life. A new heart, a heart of flesh, a life of God, a life of hating sin, a life of loving the truth. You saw how much strange things happen in this world. People, they love sin. Yesterday, one brother asked me, this is a nice question, but I'm making an example. Do I really need to quit smoking and drinking and leave all my girlfriends just to be a Christian? I said, the way you ask. I would say, yeah, but that's actually not what you need to do. You don't need to leave that. You need to repent from your sin. The problem is that you are separated from God. Just, no, I don't believe that Christianity preaches that we must leave all these things. I said, but what do you perceive you are? He said, I'm a Christian. I said, you're not a Christian because when you die, you're not going to heaven. I told him straight. I know that I'm bad. I tell people those things. But this is the truth. I said, you're not going to heaven unless you die. Unless before you die, you repent from your sins. But what I'm trying to point to you, he loved his sin so much that he comes with answers. He says, no, I know in the Bible people did get drunk. So he justifies. That's what I'm trying to say. We learn to justify our sins. I'm not bad. I know this one is bad, but I'm better. But Bazalwan, that's not what it is. We need to hate sin and love the truth. And when we love the truth, we come to hear the truth. We come here to fellowship with God. We come here to be preached to and to be taught and to be disciples and to be directed to the path of God. John 17, verse 17. It says we need the word of God because the word of God is the truth and this truth sanctifies us. What does it mean? It makes us holy. What does it mean? It makes us in the image of Christ Jesus that we may be acceptable and be accepted in the house of the Lord. So I need to look back in my life. You need to look back in your life and see that you were dead, now you are alive. You were blind, but now you are seeing. You were lost and you were found. And the second thing, if I can just summarize, is that this message reminds us that we need to proclaim what kind of a message and to who. It says to everyone. If you read verse number 10, it says, Peter says, to all the people of Israel, you have to listen. This message is to everyone. God doesn't choose who we must preach to. He says, go and preach the message to the whole world. Those that will repent, those that will come, they must be baptized, they must be taught, they must be led in the church. But we must preach to everybody. We cannot choose people. We must be like Peter. We must stand without shame. We must be like Peter. We must stand without wavering. We must stand without fear. We must stand with boldness. We must stand without regrets. If you remember very carefully, Peter here was facing the possibility of persecution. He was facing the possibility of being handed over and be crucified like the Lord Jesus Christ. But he still stand. He still stood for the truth of God. He was also facing the possibility of being beheaded like James. To be martyred like Stephen. But he stood. Can you stand for the truth? Can you stand for the truth? The listeners, by standing for the truth, you will come to the truth and preach the truth with us. Can we stand for the truth? Above all, can we honor the truth by the change of our lives? If we have believed in Jesus, then we are saying our lives have changed. And I pray that the Lord may help us as we consume and absorb these things. 5,000 men were saved that day. Will you cry? Will you raise up your hands, your inner hands, and say, Lord, here am I, save me. May I be counted with the multitudes, those that will go up the hill of the Lord and come to the mountain of God and worship God. May I be the one that is counted with the number that comes to you. May you lift up your heart of your hearts and surrender to God. Lord, may I be the one that preaches your word in truth. May I be the one that proclaim this good news. God, will you save me in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the good Lord bless us as we meditate on these things, as we absorb and contemplate these things. Father Lord, thank you this morning for your word, that there is salvation and that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the words that we have spoken this morning, the words that we have chosen, that we preach this morning. We pray also for the things that we didn't say, that we meant to say, oh God, that it may go to your people's understanding as well. Oh God, that you may save your inheritance, to save your people. Help us this morning in the name of Jesus, as we come to you in the name of Christ and in humbleness and in surrender of our sins. Help us, Lord, as we pray. In Jesus' name, we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen.
So, Emile, we may close our eyes as I bring the benediction. Now, may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
May the good Lord bless you. And I hope to see you again next week.